Before we get started, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for all the joys and blessings that you give us each day. At this time, Father, we thank you for this opportunity we've had to get together with these children, to get together with all of the people that we have been with today to study a portion of your word about your flood that you brought upon the earth. We hope that you will be with us the rest of this day. Please keep us safe. Please forgive us of our sins. We ask in Christ's name, amen. Okay, I get to do the best lesson about the animals. So, even though Roger did about half of mine, but that's all right. I'm going to let him slide just as once. No. Okay. When you're talking about the animals, as Christians, we, for the most part, and I'm talking about Christians with quotes, as in the Christian world, at least to a certain extent, believe in Noah's Ark. Now, contrary to what most do believe, we, as people that attend the Church of Christ, believe that Noah's Ark is absolutely true. Everything that's said about it is true. In the Bible, that is. I was looking at my notes here where you see the, they talk about the animals, about in pairs. They went on the ark, except for the clean animals, when there were seven of those each. The reason for this was they needed pairs for reproduction for when the animals left the ark. And the clean animals they needed for certain sacrifices that they had to do while the ark was doing its job. Because the ark was basically, as Roger said, a barge with no engine. All it was required to do was float. And the animals that were on board, and we've already talked about that there was apparently plenty of room to have the animals. I don't think that Noah had to worry about them wandering all over the boat and stuff like that, because God would have made sure that the animals did what they needed to do, just like he would help Noah do what he needed to do. And now one of the things you talk about, that you hear people talk about all the time, about the animals that were there, that people try to claim that, this couldn't be true. There's no way you could get all the animals on the ark. There's no way they'd behave for a year. Well, none of that was absolutely necessary. They forget who God is. If God said the animals were going to go on that boat and they're going to sit there and stay there for 365 days, they would do that. Okay, now, we know about the fact that, most people, even Christians, you hear them talk about, oh yeah, there were all sorts of animals, bears and buffaloes and platypuses and penguins and birds. People forget about the birds sometimes because it rained. They're not like fish, but no, birds too. All the birds except for the ones on the earth, on the ark, died because they didn't have any place to land. And the biggest question is, if anybody ever comes out with a picture of two small long-necked dinosaurs walking onto the ark and standing besides Noah, you'd be amazed how many people that say they believe in God go, oh, no way. There couldn't have been any dinosaurs on the ark. And why is that? Anybody know? Anybody have an opinion? Why do they say there weren't dinosaurs on the ark? Because they died out, right? Long time ago, supposedly. 60 million years is the figure that they give here in this material. But now, admittedly, The Bible never uses the word dinosaur. Why is that? Because the word wasn't made up yet. The word dinosaur did not come into the vocabulary until the 1840s. That is when they first started coining the term. So there's no way that the Bible would have said dinosaur because they didn't have the word. That doesn't mean that the dinosaurs were not there. And the fact is, even though most people in this day and age don't really admit it, the dinosaurs lived at the same time that man did. And we'll get further into that as we go. And people talk about, well, the dinosaurs weren't mentioned, so how could they have been on the ark? Well, number one, they weren't called dinosaurs. Number two, every animal that was on the ark was not listed anyway. Cats, kangaroos, elephants, aardvarks, anteaters, platypuses, penguins, none of those are actually mentioned as being on the ark. And I'm sure that there are thousands more. Roger was talking about how many species there were. I mean, I know they're discovering new ones all the time, but so there, if you wanted to list all of the animals that were going on the ark, you would have needed a whole another long book in the Bible to do it. And remember that the Bible is not, taxonomically correct, but it's not required to be correct in that manner. That's not what it's for. Okay, we already talked about the fact that dinosaur was not a word. Oh, 1842, that's when it became a word. The Bible was complete over 1900 years ago. The English version of the Bible did not come out until sometime in the 16th century. So that's why they did it that way. Now, modern English translators have elected to omit the term dinosaur in any versions that were made after 1842 because, nobody was sure. If you look at the Bible the way it was, the way that they mentioned these animals, and we'll talk about that in a minute, they decided that they would not mention the word dinosaur, change, because the two animals in Job that they talk about, the behemoth and the leviathan. Now, there's a lot of evidence that it indicates that if you hear the way they're described, they sound more like dinosaurs than anything else. But they didn't want to actually say that, so they left it the way it was. So even today, it says leviathan and behemoth in the Bible. But the descriptive terms attributed to these animals make it sound like more like a dinosaur than anything else. Now, there's been opinions. They were crocodiles. They were whales. They were other things that have come through the years. But if you really look at the description, it doesn't fit. The only thing that does fit is they were dinosaurs, what we would call today dinosaurs. Okay, and there is evidence that dinosaurs did actually live with man, and they didn't die out millions and millions of years ago like, you see on almost every media thing that you ever see about dinosaurs, with the exception of Jurassic Park, because you all know that's absolutely true, too. No, it's not, but... And this all goes back, and I'm not going to spend any time on this, but it all goes back to the evolutionary timeline that most people in the science is today try to attribute to everything. They try to imprint that on everything as if it's a fact, and it's not. It never was. It's a theory. But the... Okay, now when we talk about the Bible itself, there's a couple of things we need to talk about. The main thing is we need to remember is that on the sixth day, God created all terrestrial animals. All of them. It doesn't really get descriptive, but everything that was created that is either on the land or in the air was created on the sixth day. The only thing God had to do after that was create man, and he did that. So all the animals, including the dinosaurs, were made on the sixth day. So man did live with the dinosaurs. So we touched a minute ago about Behemoth and Leviathan. The way God describes these animals in Job chapter 40 and 41. As I said, they talked about, God talks about certain dinosaurs had huge tails like a cedar tree. Their bones were like the beams of bronze. Their ribs were like bars of iron. And they easily could be called chief in the ways of God. Now, what that means is, in reality, at least some of them were really big. And we look back, and yes, some grown dinosaurs were the largest animals that ever lived on the earth. I read in a couple of articles, some of them were as much as 120 feet long and weighed 100 tons. So yeah, that's a pretty big animal. The main thing that we're trying to get across is because God made every animal on the sixth day and then made man, that the next day, that the animals and man lived together, at least for a while, at the same time. They cohabitated the earth. Now, if dinosaurs and humans live together, it's logical to conclude that just as humans tell stories today of impressive things they see, ancient people would have done the same thing. If they saw something that was fantastic to them, they would just find a way to describe it. Now, unlike today, where we could get on Facebook and do it and 100 million people would all know at once what happened to us. Back then, they would have found other ways to describe it. Now, one way that this could have been done is we mentioned before that the word dinosaur was not there up until the recent past. There are other things that they would have called them. The most common thing is when people have described creatures that had all of the attributes of a dinosaur, they probably would have called it a dragon instead. Now, there are stories about dragons that have been here as long as people have. I just spent a couple of hours looking it over the last couple of days, and they go back to the Romans, the Greeks, the Mayans, the Hindus, everybody has stories that go back thousands of years about these dragons. And of course, they have their own word for it in many cases. Now, if you really push somebody that believes in evolution, they will admit that these stories exist. But the stories range from, massively powerful sea creatures, dinosaur-like flying reptiles, animals with toothed beaks, and some that were very large, but not all. Some of the stories also describe animals that were not that large. Now, one of the things that it talks about in this particular lesson is, in 2003, a nearly complete dinosaur skull was excavated in South Dakota. The long, knobby, spiky skull appeared so similar to descriptions and paintings of certain dragons, it actually was named Draco Rex. That's what they actually called this dinosaur. Which means Draco Dragon King. That's what Draco Rex means. The Children's Museum in Indianapolis actually has the skull now. So anytime you're in town, you can go look at it. When they looked at its skull, and there's just no other way to describe it. It's a dinosaur. And now, the second thing we need to look at is their physical evidence of what people say that they have seen and what they've talked about and what they've told their children about over the years. Similar to how we take pictures of places we visit and wildlife we see in modern times, those living hundreds or thousands of years ago actually would draw pictures of dinosaurs. They would make carvings of them. They would make carvings that had dinosaurs on them. Now, if what evolutionists say are true, and they died out 60 million years ago, how did people 2,000 years ago know what a dinosaur looked like? Because they saw them. That's why. Okay, a couple of things about in this that help us with this evidence. An approximately 900-year-old carving of what appears to be a stegosaurus was found not very many years ago in Cambodia. Centuries before learning about dinosaurs from any fossil record, a variety of these creatures were pictured in various castles in Europe. You would see dinosaurs drawn on castles in Europe, in catacombs, in places like that. Well, how did they know about them if they were never around us? Let's see, there's in Peru, they have found hundreds of ancient burial stones, many of whom have been found with dinosaurs carved on them. And again, how would they know about them? How would they know what they look like? If somebody that was around them had not seen one. North America, supposedly there are rock drawings in different areas of the country and carvings that have been found that clearly depict different dinosaurs. Now, the most interesting thing to me, since, you know, I was kind of a biology nut when I was in college, was what they termed soft dinosaur tissue. In recent years, scientists have unearthed a variety of dinosaur bones from around the world that are not completely fossilized. See, that's one of the things that evolutionists will tell you, that when you find dinosaur bones, they're completely fossilized. There's no organic material left in them because they died millions of years ago. However, they found that some of these that they've discovered recently actually contain protein fragments, including proteins known as collagens and elastins. Now, I don't know what those are, except that they're proteins. And using chemicals to dissolve away the minerals, scientists have seen what appears to be a network of soft, transparent vessels and cells. However, since according to evolutionists, proteins in tissue normally degrade fairly quickly after an animal dies, how does this fit with their theory? when it doesn't. So they call it controversial. They don't admit it, but that's what they call it. Now, the once controversial dinosaur protein supposedly that this evidence has actually been confirmed, that evidence is there. It's not somebody didn't make it up. It's actually there. Now, you would think that now that that has happened, that all the evolutionists would sit down and write us all an apology letter, right, saying that we were wrong. Well, no, they haven't done that. And it's not likely that they will, but that doesn't change the evidence. Okay, the bottom line on this really is that the physical and historical evidence, along with the Bible, clearly testify that man and dinosaurs lived together, and that evolution's timeline is basically flawed. Now, do I think that there were, 5 billion dinosaurs on the Earth? Probably not. But they were here, and people saw them, and they drew pictures of them. Now, let's get back to the subject that we're actually speaking of, the flood. What about dinosaurs on the ark? Like I said at the beginning, some people, you see two dinosaurs walk up the ramp onto the ark and you're going, no way, Jose. Well, why? Why is that something that you can't conceive of, even though you can conceive of every other animal doing that? Okay, the main questions that rise about this are, okay, how do you get a dinosaur that might be 120 feet long and weigh 100 tons, how do you get two of them on the ark? Okay, well, we've already gone over the fact that they forget who God is. He can do anything he wants. But the point is, first, remember that God was the creator of all the animals, and he knew exactly how big the ark needed to be in order to house all the animals that it needed to. He's God. Second, contrary to popular belief, not all dinosaurs were massive. The largest fossil dinosaur eggs of a 40-foot-long dinosaur laid eggs that were less than a foot in diameter. So they were like this big. According to recent studies, the average dinosaur was about the size of a buffalo, which is not the smallest thing in the world, but it's not 120 feet long and weighs 100 tons either. So most dinosaurs were just not that big. Some were very small. Many dinosaurs were only a few feet tall, even as full adults. Some were as small as chickens. Now, people have found fossilized versions of these, but now whether they look like those little tiny things that jumped all over people on Jurassic Park, I don't know. But the point is that most dinosaurs were not, brontosauruses and tyrannosaurus rexes and all those big, huge things that we think about when the word dinosaur comes up. Most of them were not that big. So assuming that God handled them the way he did every other animal, they could have gone on the ark just like every other animal. And God may have allowed Noah to bring the baby dinosaurs on the ark. Now, I don't know what that means by, quote, baby, but smaller, adolescent dinosaurs. You know, not all the animals that went on the ark necessarily had to be full-grown, midlife, you know, buffaloes and cows and whatever. They could have been younger. And he could have done the same thing with dinosaurs. As hatchlings, most dinosaurs were no bigger than the average house pet. Even brontosauruses and tyrannosauruses and some of the other big ones we hear about, when they were born and when they were small, they were like a heavy dog. That's how big they were. So the problem with space on the ark is not as acute as you think it is. And it actually even says here, young dinosaurs on the ark could have needed no more space than an average dog. Because remember, just because you're talking about a particular kind of animal that humans are not used to really dealing with, to God, they're just another one of his creations. And he knows how to deal with them. And he knows how to make them do whatever they need to do to exist on the ark for a year. Now, I don't know what that was. The Bible doesn't say what that was. But he did it. Okay, so what happened to the dinosaurs? You know, if they were there then, why aren't they here now? Well, a couple things come up. Number one, after the ark, after the flood was over, and the ark was left on the ground, and you know, all the animals left, the environment changed to a certain extent. Now, how do we know that? Well, just look at the people at that time. That the people after Noah's generation, remember before the flood, the people that lived on the earth lived a long time. You know, 800 years, 900 years. Methuselah was 969 when he died. He was Noah's grandfather. How'd you like to have a grandfather 900 years old? Oh my goodness. Because that would make me like, what, 700? Now, so after the flood, however, people began dying at a much younger age. Instead of living 800, 900 years, the descendants of Noah actually began living only 150 to 200 years. Abraham, for example, died at the age of 175. Now, is that old to us? Yes. But is it old compared to the people before the flood? No. It's a massive decrease in the lifespan. Now, because of the change in environment, that could have affected dinosaurs. Because we don't, frankly, we do not know what kinds of changes happened to the environment after the flood. I mean, you can give an opinion all the way from there was nothing on the earth except bones after the flood, all the way up to where, as the water went down, God basically made the plants start growing again. We don't know. But we know that people survived and that the animals survived and they started breeding again. So God must have taken care of how to make that possible. Now, the last surviving dinosaurs may have become extinct for another reason. They could have been hunted. Remember, we're talking about most dinosaurs weren't as big as we're used to seeing on Jurassic Park movies. So they could very well have been hunted by man. They had meat just like other animals that men like to eat. That's just the bottom line. Now, as far as we know, before the flood, you don't really read anything about men hunting. But after the flood is when God actually seems to have talked to man about that, told them that, hey, all the animals, all the birds, all of these, my creation, are going to be afraid of you. And he said that because so that they would fear us, and men started hunting animals. Don't forget, from a biblical perspective, Nimrod, who's a grandson of Ham, he began hunting animals as soon as Genesis chapter 10. And after that, you hear about, David is an excellent example of, he had to kill animals when he was out with his sheep. Now, yes, he would kill to defend the sheep, but he could also kill an animal to have food. And now how this could have made the dinosaurs extinct, nobody really knows. I mean, there are people that claim theories, but the facts are that we don't know. But it happened because dinosaurs, at least as far as we know, are not here now. Boy, that'd be cool. But never mind. Now, I mean, and we know that somehow the dinosaurs were able to repopulate the world because there are dinosaur bones all over the place. If you hear about scientific finds about fossils of dinosaurs, they're worldwide. So somehow they managed to repopulate the earth, sort of like men did, and all the other animals. Now, how about applying this? And it's kind of funny that they put this in because it's what I was thinking. Not all of our questions are going to have answers about dinosaurs, about the animals on the ark. God put data in the ark about how the ark worked and how the flood worked and all like that to give us what we need to know. But if he had put every detail in the story about Noah, I think most of us would still be reading it now because there's no way to do that. But remember, that's not what the Bible's for. The Bible's to help us know that he is God, and whatever needs to be done, he will make sure it gets done. Okay, number two, God does not and will not ask people to do the impossible. He won't give us something to do that we can't do. I know Roger was talking about how hard it was to build the ark, especially for four guys. Well, when God told Noah to build the ark, he would have made sure that Noah knew how to do that. Now, does that mean he was a shipwright? Not necessarily. But because remember, all he's building is a box. And God told him how to do it. He put him somewhere where the materials were there that could provide him with the means to do it. And Noah did it. And because in Psalms chapter 103, verse 14, he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. He knows that we're not invulnerable. He knows that we are not strong enough to do some of the things that, we wish we could do. But he knows that. So he's not going to give us something to do that we can't do. Are we done? Really? I didn't think I had enough material. Okay, real quick. The bottom line, God does not ask us and will not ask us to do the impossible. And if we do our part, he will do his part. So we need to concentrate on doing our part. Thank you.